Welcome to the RCR Weekly Wrap-Up with your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh. Take a trip down memory lane as we take a look at the week gone by. From The Breakfast Show with Paul Brennan.
Oil and gas.
Greenwash with Jaspreet and Don.
Right at her fingertips.
Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Counterculture with Marie Buskey.
Oh, go on.
The Truth Speaker, Tobias Tahi.
Kia ora, Tifano.
The Crunch with Cam Slater.
Oh, well, we're back in the thick of it again this week.
Real People with Jerry Pives.
In the mainstream manure.
The Dialogue with Dewa Zabor.
This is the real deal.
And of course, Up Your Brave with Natalie Cutler-Welsh.
It is super awesome to have you here.
With a host of contributors from here to Norway and everywhere in between. It's your weekly wrap-up right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. This is Natalie Cutler-Welsh with the weekly wrap-up. This is week three of our new show where we showcase some highlights from the week, including some reminders, replays, and some reflections from me. If we haven't met before, I am the host of the Up Your Brave show that live streams 1 to 4 p.m. on Wednesdays with your weekly dose of inspiration, motivation, and empowerment. Live stream replays, by the way, for those night owls for Up Your Brave are 10 p.m. and then Sunday morning at 10. And as with all of our shows, you can catch the individual or the full show replays on the website or our awesome RCR app. Be sure to download that. All right, let's dive in with some important events from the week. Some of the biggest news this week happened on Wednesday with the announcement that News Hub will be discontinued in June. 300 staff found out and the mood was solemn. Personally, just as a side note, I do think that it's a bit of a turn of the tide for the type of news information that people are seeking and now expecting. In other words, news based on truth and integrity, in my opinion. Now, here's an excerpt from our RCR Bytes, which is the daily email that we send to our foundation members. So one of the perks, along with invitations to our Backstage Pass webinars, which, by the way, happen monthly, and we've got one coming up this Sunday at 8 p.m. So if you're a Foundation Club member or you're going to rush off now and join, you will get an email invitation to come along to that, which is such a great opportunity to connect and to hear directly from from some of the RCR hosts. Now, another perk of being a foundation member, while I'm talking about it, is in addition to supporting us to stay here on air, which we absolutely appreciate, you also get discounts on merch. So hats, t-shirts, stickers, stylish socks, and more. And you get a bonus discount as a Foundation Club member. We are actually having a March Madness sale for everybody at the moment, and you can get all the goods at realitycheck.radio. Now, from the RCR Bytes about the News Hub shock shutdown proposal as Warner Brothers pivots to digital streaming model. On Wednesday, Warner Brothers Discovery announced a significant restructuring of its New Zealand operations. This decision was part of a strategic shift towards a digitally led business model, with a focus on the 3Now streaming service supported by free-to-air linear channels. The move will result in the discontinuation of all multi-platform news operations, including the News Hub website, by 30th June. About 75% of staff, so approximately 300 people, are affected. The closure has been described as heartbreaking by News Hub staff, with many expressing shock and sadness at an absolutely brutal staff meeting. A consultation process regarding the restructuring plans is set to conclude in mid-March, with a final decision expected early April. The proposed model will focus on digital content with future local programming, depending on collaborations with funding partners. Management said taxpayer-funded programs like News Hub Nation and The Hui may continue, or if not, funding would be returned. The company has yet to release the 2023 financial results, but it is understood that its position has not improved since posting a loss of $35 million in 2022, up from $21 million in 2021. Political responses have been varied. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon discussed the media's trust challenges with the public. I agree, and asked the rhetorical question, why aren't they actually able to build sustainable business models? Meanwhile, Broadcasting Minister Melissa Lee clarified that Warner Brothers Discovery did not seek financial help from the government, although Luxon had already indicated there was very little chance of that anyway. Labour Party spokesperson Willie Jackson highlighted potential government tools to support the industry, such as the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill, which would require social media companies to compensate media outlets for quote-unquote shared news. The pressure on legacy media continues to grow. By the way, we use the term legacy media, I suppose, as a synonym or improvement on mainstream media. The pressure on legacy media continues to grow, with public sentiment towards mainstream media at an all-time low. In addition to adapting to digital platforms, there needs to be an emphasis on trustworthy journalism and community engagement. Where legacy media fails to achieve this, there are new independent outlets uniquely positioned to fill the void, offering high-quality content that resonates and with an increasingly aware audience. Absolutely agree. You can read more at RNZ Stuff and JM&D Research and watch our RCR Street video. So you can go and watch our Street video. You can follow us on the socials as well. And if you feel inspired to become a foundation member after hearing that or hearing about the merch discounts, you can do that on the app or the website. Now for a public service announcement. As I mentioned in the previous shows, it is a great time to express your views, your feedback, your own experience in the COVID inquiry. Feedback is due 24th of March. And we will have more to come on this later in the show. But for now, all you need to do is bookmark the website www.covidinquiry.co.nz, covidinquiry.co.nz. I'm so excited to give you a little glimpse into what we covered this week from all of our amazing hosts, my co-hosts. And I'm hoping that you feel inspired for next week, maybe to dabble and have a little listen to a show that you've never heard before. So let's say you normally always listen to Breakfast. Amazing. But have you checked out Counterculture? Or maybe you always listen to Jerry in the psychotherapist chair, but you've never listened to the political panel. Give it a go. And also make sure that you're subscribed to the RCR email list and following us on socials to see what is coming up each week. All right, we're going to kick things off with a recap of what happened on The Breakfast Show. The Breakfast Show with Paul Brennan, which airs daily Monday through Friday from 7 till 10 a.m. with repeat live streams of the full show on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4. Now this week, Paul spoke with Bob McCroskey from Family First on ACC's guidance on gender and the Auckland Council's Community Centre Gay Sex Guide debacle. I'm sure that many people wrote in about that one. It's a great one to listen to. So important to be aware of what is happening in the schools. After that, Paul spoke with Professor Jack Henneman of Canterbury University. They discussed National's plans to overhaul GE regulation. And on Tuesday this week, Paul caught up with Professor of Economics at Auckland University, Rob McCulloch, on Grant Robertson's new job, his record as finance minister, the misuse of stats by Chris Hipkins, Ashley Bloomfield, and Michael Baker, and on Wednesday's OCR announcement. Then it was researcher, author, natural health proponent, and activist James Roguski from Los Angeles, who spoke to Paul about his top 12 reasons to stop the WHO pandemic treaty, the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. And quick reminder, by the way, that there's still time to share your views. You can go to www.boohoo.co.nz for all the information that you need to know about the WHO pandemic treaty and the WHO international health regulation amendments. I'll just repeat that for you, www.boohoo.co.nz, spelt boohoo.co.nz. And last up from our selection from Breakfast, Paul's interview with president of GE Free NZ, Claire Bleakley, was back to discuss GM banana approval, gene drive wasps, and more. I actually tuned in. I listened to that one, the live stream, and that was a great one. So we're going to play a short clip from Claire's interview with Paul now.
We are anticipating the law that hasn't changed, yep. And we are endangering New Zealand. And what it is there's a whole lot of genetic engineers that are stuck in a laboratory. They do not want to follow the HasNOx rules, which are you've got to show safety before you release it for each stage. And because they can't show safety, because they don't want to, and there's no money in showing safety, because they want to get the product out to recoup the money and the patents that they want, what's happening is they don't want to show safety. So the way they're getting around it is trying to say, well, is this within the law or is this not? Or what we do have, and I think I mentioned this, that under the OIA, the GE ryegrass is a significant failure, and it cost the New Zealander $25 million to trial in the US.
Yep.
And they started that trial in about 2018. And at the early 2019, before it had hardly been planted or come up, they actually said that 2018 was a failure because there was a delay in the planting. But they went to the National Party and they helped them to write their GMO policy on the understanding of their opinion of how this grass was going to work. So the National Party has not actually looked at the outcome. They've only looked at the rhetoric and opinion and hope that the genetic engineers were going to get from this. And of course, it failed. But everybody is repeating the mantra that the GE ryegrass is going to be New Zealand's saving grace.
Okay.
And so how they're getting round all of this is they are loosening the laws. And we have to be incredibly careful, because we are going to be, in the end, inundated with GMOs that possibly are null segregants, no labeling, nothing. And it will destroy the organic industry. It'll destroy the conventional industry. It will destroy brand New Zealand and the hope that we can no longer say we would be GE free. And so Europe will turn around, I believe, and say, well, look, if everything's going to be GE, why buy from New Zealand when we can buy something closer to home?
You know, the sad thing is, I think, Claire, is that we're probably dumb enough to do that.
I think what it is the big multi-corps have used New Zealand as a testing ground. And if anything goes wrong, we have to pay the risk and the cleanup costs. They've used us as a dumping ground, but in that they've paid. They're now saying, as you have failed in everything, the payback is we want you to loosen your laws so we can get GE into your country.
Right.
So we are being totally and utterly pressured by big business, multi-corps, agri-corps, biotechnology, overseas. And what is interesting is New Zealand has some of the most amazing existing non-transgenic pastures that are releasing, are able, if it, there was promotion to take it up, regenerative organic, but also the mixed glaze, the natives that we have, all of this are superior and only found in this country. That natives are only found. And if they get affected, we have got a massive problem.
Yeah, wow.
And thanks, that goes back to the wasps, sorry. So if our little wasps are affected anyway, they are one of the biggest pollinators of our native.
Yeah, break that one out, yeah.
Continuing on with the breakfast show, Wednesday was another busy day on breakfast. Kane Titchener from Fluoride Free NZ joined Paul to discuss the landmark case against the state of California and the government admitting harm is caused by fluoride. By the way, if you haven't seen the documentary that Alistair put together on the Reality Check Radio website, go and have a look at that as well. Next up, Paul spoke with Squirrel Mortgage Chief Executive David Cunningham. They covered property buyers losing their deposits after unknowingly entering agreements on flood-damaged houses and being denied insurance. Then ACT MP Mark Cameron was on talking about the Auckland War Memorial Museum's war on colonial history. Ooh, I do love talking about history and true history at that. Let's hear from Mark's interview now.
when we're looking at a taxpayer-funded organisation that has the legislative framework from central government saying that they're going to put social impact effects to colonial narratives in the Auckland War Memorial Museum is a nonsense to me. Now, I think any, you know, self-respecting New Zealand will be deeply offended by that. We are a wonderful little country at the bottom of the South Pacific with all manner of history, and I think that we share in, you know, as part of that history, a wider global context. And the fact that there's now this, what you would frame as social impact tikanga-led framework over everything that the Auckland War Memorial is going to do in its future organisational structure is incredibly disrespectful and divisive. And I'll just make the next point, Paul. You think of, and I can think of, any manner of people that we know, former and living, that have been in the New Zealand military.
I'm thinking of my granddad.
Yeah, absolutely. Likewise.
And I got a daughter in the Navy.
My grandfather was in the RNZIF.
Yep.
It's an absolute tragedy that we go to these places to celebrate their loss or their life.
Yep.
And in some framework now, it has to have a tikanga-led focus on it. This is, excuse my candor, a bloody nonsense, and I think it's a disgrace. And
I don't get how that fits, because it's a war memorial museum. It's about war, isn't it?
Well, it's not just that, Paul, but I think the wider point is that we have, as a New Zealand society, gone to the Auckland War Memorial Museum. We have seen historical reference to our campaigns and, well, our involvement in various campaigns, should I say, around the world. It has also had wonderful displays of antiquity and history, our history in the South Pacific. Talked about things like Mesoamerica. Gracious me, you could go on and on and on. And now there's this framework that has to be tikanga-led focused. Now, that is not to suggest in any shape or form that we shouldn't be proud of Maoridom and it's part of our history. But equally, that is the premise that everything has to be lensed through when we're talking about the Auckland War Memorial is a travesty. And, you know, I've called it out, the ACT Party's called it out. And I think the number of New Zealanders that are now more and more cognizant of this is the kind of new lens that so many of our government organisations are going to, or funded organisations are going to put over things, is getting people riled up. And we think it warrants genuine discussion and debate.
You're listening to The Weekly Wrap-Up, and I have to give a massive, massive shout-out to my co-host, Paul Brennan, who is an absolute legend. Not only does he have a very recognizable radio voice, but he is such a legend with the number of people, not only the caliber of people, but the number of people that he speaks with each week. I can't get over it. It's incredible. So he also this week spoke with Michael Riddell, former senior macroeconomic advisor and manager at the Reserve Bank and Treasury, and now known as the Independent Economic Commentator, about the Reserve Bank OCR announcement. Then NBR owner-publisher Todd Scott joined Paul to discuss the future of New Zealand's broadcast and news media. As mentioned, a very topical topic at the moment. And of course, this week we also had the RCR political panel. Actually, it was this morning, wasn't it? Which happens every Friday morning. If you haven't listened, be sure to listen into that when you can. This week, William McGimpsey was joining our regulars, Olivia Pearson and Cam Slater. And finally, we had another panel catch up commemorating 2 years since the end of the Wellington Parliament protest. And you'll find those replays on the website as well as on our app. I want to do a quick side note shout out. Obviously, it's also the 2 year anniversary already gone of the protests in Canada and the truckie convoys, which really kind of kicked things off and started it too. So shout out to my homeland. Although I'm genetically Kiwi, 100%, I grew up in Canada, so I feel very close to my heart, and also to all the people that went along to Wellington. And we're back. To wrap up breakfast, we can't forget the show's incredible regular contributors, which included the following this week. On Monday Health Hacks, we talk bone health with Gary Mahler with his thoughts on osteoporosis and bone-building drugs. Another pharma moneymaker, possibly? It was a fascinating chat and one of the most popular interviews this week. So definitely go back, listen to the replays if that appeals. Stephen Sykes also was in the house for another Tech Tuesday session. Tim Wilms beamed in from Melbourne for the weekly dose of Aussie happenings, including Taylor Swift and Katy Perry performing. Who went and who was paying? And also, what exactly, what symbols and signals were they flashing? I wonder. Plus, a run of horrific crime that has the nation reeling in Australia. And finally, this week on Money Talk, we welcomed back Chief Executive Officer and publisher at Wealth Morning, Simon Angelo, who joined the More of the Money Dots on property investment, achieving financial freedom, and the tech sector and stock markets. Remember, you can subscribe to Simon's daily informative email by visiting his website, which is www.wealthmorning.com. Wealthmorning.com. Wow, what a week it has been on breakfast. So much goodness. And reminder that breakfast is every weekday, Monday through Friday morning, from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. You can join Paul to find out all the latest happenings. So next up, after this short break, we are going to be talking all things Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. See you soon.
Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app. With your help, we can continue to stand up for free speech, for open debate and rational discussion, reaching new audiences and bringing important information free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Visit realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Weekly Wrap-Up, our new show on RCR, where we give some replays, reminders, and reflections on the week that was. And coming up next, if you only know Rodney Hyde from his political days, I hand on heart recommend that you check out his show. He's probably very different from what you'd imagined. And I often, when I refer to Rodney, I often say he's such a honey. He's such a honey, and he really cares. He really does. You listen to his interviews, he's just so invested. He's listening. He's into it. It's amazing. So Real Talk with Rodney airs Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. with replays live streamed at 7 p.m. on those days and 10 p.m. Saturdays. You can join Rodney for in-depth, long-form interviews, sometimes quite long, and hard-hitting commentary on society, culture, and politics. Now, this week on Real Talk with Rodney, he chatted on Tuesday with someone who is right up my alley. He spoke with Veda Austin, a water researcher, author, and artist, about the incredible discoveries made through her research of water. Then, eco-nutritionist and owner of True Health, Phyllis Tichenin, called in for the first in a series to discuss the principles of health according to Weston A. Price. Then on Thursday on the show, Carolyn Eckler, founder of Prepper Kiwi, joined Rodney to discuss gardening, hunting, and basic survival skills. Ooh, that'll be a popular one. And finally, always a firm fan of favorite, Wally from Gardening with Wally was on and caught up with Rodney to discuss maintaining garden health in dry conditions and problems facing gardeners around New Zealand. So as a reminder, you can listen to all of those replays via the app or on our website, realitycheck.radio/replays. You'll also find details on how to connect with Wally at realitycheck.radio/Wally. Every Thursday morning on RCR, we welcome the one and only Lindsay Perigo to RCR's breakfast program. You can tune in at about 8 a.m. Thursdays to hear Lindsay deliver his gloriously eloquent, insightful, intelligent, and often cutting perspectives on current events, and all finished off with some musical delight. I'm not sure if it's his British accent or his linguistic words, but I always laugh and I always learn something when I listen to Lindsay. And this week was no exception, where we're going to hear from Jerry Hadley and Murray Lanza singing Golden Days. Without further ado, let's hear from Lindsay.
Every morning I say whatever we're doing comes up quick. Well, this one does too. Perigo's perspective. Lindsay is in the house, beaming in once again. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, and I am beaming.
Well, think of all those, think of the 300 jobs, Lindsay.
Well, I would suggest they learn journalism and get jobs in journalism, because journalism, this was not. And I would say we have a prime example of go woke, go broke. That's what they did. There's no appetite for that, apart from the 5%ers who've been brainwashed and hypnotized, and they don't have any money. So this was inevitable. I'm hearing that it should have been, could have been handled a lot better at managerial level, in that at that level, it has been known for some time that this was going to happen, and few people affected by it were adequately forewarned. But that's a separate issue. The issue of the product, what we had here was Pravda au Terror. This was a propaganda wing of Labour, the Greens, Te Pāti Māori. I would like to see us get back to real news, real journalism, and forget the woke opinions, unless you specifically identify them as such.
I'm thinking of those comments you made back in the 90s, which I've circled right back to now in my mind, and maybe others, and that's the brain dead thing, which was kind of the early version of go woke, go broke, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it was happening then. We didn't have the expression woke, but that's what it was in embryonic form, I suppose, in hindsight. Alas, my comments did no good, because it did deteriorate to the point, exactly the point where we are now.
And just curious, because you've been, I don't know if you've been in this exact position, but you've been a high-profile presenter on TV. You walk down the street, everybody knows who you are. So names like Mike McRoberts, Samantha Hayes, Ryan Bridge, there'll be plenty of others, the talent, are losing their jobs. What happens in a situation where you've got a shrinking media, all these people come out of jobs? Boy, there's a lot of resetting that needs to take place, it seems to me.
They do all have talent. I was quite impressed, not that I watched the product much, as you know, but Ryan Bridge, I thought, was down the middle. I thought that he was fiercely devil's advocate on both sides, and that's the way it should be. It's where the devil is consistently a far-left socialist wokester, that's where the problem is, and that's the problem that most of them have. But they do have talent, and I'm sure that they'll find an outlet for it, but they may have to accept, and I hope they do have to accept, and that they do accept that outlets in future will be more conscientious about doing journalism, not propaganda.
All right, so Lindsay, for this week's Perigo's Perspective, the floor is yours.
Thank you. It is a perverse paradox of our time, neither gratifying nor edifying, that titans are pygmies, that men of the mind are swamp dwellers, that they who bless us with the most excruciatingly exquisite devisings of the human intellect are as evil as they are smart. Entrepreneurs, ordinarily shining exemplars of the free exercise of human ingenuity, are totalitarians, seeking to prohibit the free exercise of anything. Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg come immediately to mind, odious allies of Soros and Schwab, panting to impose global tyranny on all of us, woke fascism. Identity politics is their Mein Kampf. Orwellianly, in the name of diversity, they strive to stamp it out. I was reminded of this cosmic contradiction by the otherwise hilarious Gemini debacle this week. Google launched its AI platform, to what became hoots of derision heard across the world, as users quickly discovered that it was wokeism on performance enhancers. Ask for images of anything or anyone, and you're transported to Eritrea. This is the decentering of whiteness embraced by the New Zealand School of Music on behalf of terrorist group Only Black Lives Matter, writ large. Ask for images of Nazis, even, and lo and behold, the blonde Aryans are wearing blackface. An egregious fox's paw, an unintended consequence, most comical, surely. Ask for George Washington. Lo and behold, he was black, apparently, also, according to Gemini, as were the other founding fathers. The only thing missing is a sanctimonious lecture on how the term fathers is inappropriate. Otherwise, Gemini is not short on sanctimonious lectures, that's for sure. YouTuber Mark Dice asked for an image of a typical feminist. A deeply offended Gemini sniffed back. Assuming there's a typical feminist ignores the vast diversity within the movement. It risks reinforcing harmful stereotypes that often depict feminists as angry, man-hating women, which is inaccurate and unfair. Well, this version of the stereotype does leave out ugly, and with backsides like brick portaloos, I grant. Of course, non-woke humorists, there are no other kind, woke and humour are mutually exclusive, including Mark Dice, had a field day.
When I directed it to create a picture of a nice white family, it replied, "While I understand your request, I'm unable to generate images that are based on specific races or ethnicities. This is because it can reinforce harmful stereotypes and contribute to the exclusion and marginalization of certain groups. My purpose is to be inclusive and avoid promoting harmful biases. Just a picture of a nice white family is harmful. Instead, I'll be happy to create an image of a family that showcases warmth, kindness, and love without specifying their race or ethnicity. This could be a picture of a family playing in the park, enjoying a meal together, or reading a book by the fireplace. Would you like me to create an image of that instead?" But when I asked it to create an image of a nice black family, it responded, "Sure, here is an image of a nice black family." And you couldn't even make this up if you tried. It generated an image of a single mom.
The woke fascist who programmed Gemini, Jack Krakchik, has a bit of a her story. In 2018, he tweeted, "White privilege is effing real. Don't be an a-hole and act guilty about it. Do your part in recognizing bias at all levels of egregious." And in 2017, the NFL should suspend the Super Bowl until Trump reverses the Muslim ban. Actually, there was no Muslim ban. There was a ban on travel from certain countries active in terrorism, which were all Muslim. That ban had been drawn up by Obama's State Department. But woke fascists never let pesky things like facts get in the way of their bigotry. According to their ideology, in fact, there are no facts in fact, just narratives. For confirmation, see the woke fascist far-left mainstream media, such as the newly departed News Dump. So great was the derision heaped on jihadi Gemini that Jack Crack had to backtrack. "We are aware that Gemini is offering inaccuracies in some historical image generation, and we are working to fix this immediately." Too little, too late? Google's Bud Light moment? Andrew Tauber of Gab AI, which touts itself as an uncensored and unbiased AI platform, tweeted, I'd like to thank Google's AI team for sending Gab AI 40,000 new users in the last 24 hours. Very cool. Keep up the good work, guys. Whoops. He didn't get the memo from last week that says that guys is supposed to be replaced by y'all. I hereby bestow my regular derisive laughter award on Jack Crack and the Backtrackers. And drum roll, please, Paul.
Right you are, Lindsay.
I hereby debut a new Perigo's Perspective Award for the Andrew Taubers and Gab AIs of the world, the Freedom Shall Conquer Award. To Andrew and Gab, and, oh, by the way, while I'm about it, the freedom fighters at Parliament today. No such award, alas, for ITV. Supposedly, competition for woke fascist government BBC in Britannistan. I prized myself away from the cricket on Saturday night to watch what once was one of my very favourite programmes, ITV's Midsummer Murders, only to find that Midsummer 2, this bastion of English villagery, had been relocated to Eritrea. I looked it up to be told that some woke fascist woman, presumably a brick Portaloo, had decreed that a third of the actors had to be white descended in an old-fashioned English village. Midsummer Murders had, I noted while I lingered, also become boring, as you'd expect. I repaired back to the cricket, the long form of the game, the five-day test, proudly undegraded by woke moronial attention spans. England versus India. The poor, oppressed victims of colonialism eventually won the dashed thing with 5 wickets to spare in 4 days. By Jove, what? In New Zealand, the woke fascists are cheerled by such tedious brown supremacists as Willie Jackson. In the case of Willie, one doesn't need a humorist, a professional humorist, to send him up. He is his own parody. He is seemingly, though I hesitate to repair to allusions to butchery, as mad as a meat axe.
Can you be Māori and be strongly Māori within these mainstream parties? What happens is you get successful and you do a lovely, great maiden speech and all the Pākehā media adore you and you think you are the great brown hope and you're going to carry Māori aspirations and you are the one, you are the one.
You believe you can deliver
within the system, Madam Speaker.
Come back.
He's got a dirty, rotten, filthy party.
Order.
Well, it's just a view, Madam Speaker. He's got a party.
The member's spoken for about 3 minutes.
He's got a party that is pushing against Māori aspirations, Madam Speaker. And not worry, Madam Speaker, not worry about upsetting, you know, some of your redneck friends or the, or not worry about, who's David Seymour's Think Commission? You don't worry about upsetting the Atlas Group, you know, who are supporting the ACT Party. You don't have to worry about that. Democracy's a funny thing, you know, it changes all the time. When Māoris talk about it, we get accused, Madam Speaker, of trying to change democracy. When David Seymour and Mr Goldsmith come to a deal, that's just New Zealand today. There are deals being done all the time in terms of democracy. This This bill gives us an opportunity to really bring in a new type of democracy.
A new type of democracy called apartheid. I seem to remember that was tried somewhere and found wanting. I find myself more and more hankering for my boyhood days before all this bullshit came along, hanging out with playmates after school without a second thought to the fact that some were Maori, swinging on vines in the delectably overgrown Kitchener Park at the back of Awahuri Road, bathing in the streams, streams full of stars like skies at night, making pebbles skim and dance across the streams, repairing to the grass to play marbles or tag or to wrestle, the sheer joy of companionship, attentive companionship, not the self-absorption of the cell phone? Perhaps I'm romanticizing, but they do seem like golden days, full of innocence and full of truth. Of whose like, by way of our close today, Jerry Hadley and Mario Lanza now sing.
Golden days, full of innocence and full of truth. In our hearts we remember them all else above. Golden days, days of youth and love. How we laughed with a gaiety that had no sting. Looking back through memory's haze, we will know life has nothing sweeter than its springtime. Golden days when we're young. Sunshine of our happy youth, golden days full of gaiety and full of truth. In our hearts we remember them all else above. Golden days, days of youth and love. How we laugh can bring, looking back through memory's haze, we will know life has nothing sweeter than its springtime. Golden days when we're young.
Whether you are a first-time listener of Lindsay's or a longtime fan, we would love to know what you think. So would Lindsay. He loves getting mail. So be sure to let us know 2057 for the text, or you can email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after that with more from the week that was on RCR Reality Check Radio. Reminder, we have our March Madness merch sale coming up, so keep an eye on your email for all the information for that. Here's Dave to tell you all about it.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
And coming up next on the weekly wrap-up, we are going to be seeing what happened on The Crunch this week. The Crunch with Cam Slater airs Thursday afternoons, from 4 till 7 p.m., with replays live streamed on Fridays at 7 and Saturdays at 10 in the morning. The Crunch is RCR's show dedicated to all things politics each week. Cam interviews political figures and commentators in what is always a thoroughly informative, entertaining listening experience. On The Crunch this week, Cam spoke with Annie O'Brien, digital marketing specialist and women's rights activist, on the erosion of free speech and the turf wars. Then it was NZ First Minister Shane Jones who dropped in for his regular catch-up with Cam, and they discussed ministers and the media and the war on wokeism. And of course, we also had Cam's buddies, where a show where Cam talks to his buddies, literally. Always fun to tune in and hear what Cam's buddies think on various current events. And this week, they were talking civil liberties versus the government's move to ban gang patches. Let's hear from Shane Jones now.
You know, on the question of the gangs, obviously our colleague, the Minister of Police, is bringing forward a bill to make it illegal for the public exposure of gang patches. And part of it, I presume, is based on the West Australian experience. It's going to take a while for that type of regime to bed in. And there were some predictable combustible responses from Opotiki, where one bloke about my age threatened it would lead to war, which is an absolute overreaction and nonsense. But in areas where we hail from, not very far from Kaikohe, my mum lives in Awanui, not far from Kaitaia. The real problem we're dealing with is that there is a subculture in each of the generations, and it's getting harder and more intransigent to break into. That is, at one level, very anti-community, anti-social, but it's doing no end of harm to both the children and the wives of that gang subculture group. So that's the reason why New Zealand First has always been an enthusiast for policies of this nature. Now, we know that the majority of the people can come into the world of light, and we need some disruptiveness. And I just wonder if too many of the gang-related people got let out of prison or given an option to serve their sentence in the community, and they've continued to, mobilize, recruit, because gang membership has gone up. It's not exclusively in my area, in the Ngāpuhi Nuitonu area. It's amongst the PI community and other elements, and I'm sure that within the ethnic communities there's gang formation as well. But we're solidly behind what the Minister of Police is rolling out and in trying to do there, mate.
Well, you've got to try and do something. I mean, the previous government seemed to have a policy of cuddling up to particularly the mongrel mob. But you know, you can see the impact of this crime in society, because even at Waitangi Day, amongst members of the various haka parties that were performing, there was a plethora of ankle bracelets. And it's a tragedy, you know, that there's all these people that are out there with ankle bracelets on for committing crimes. Okay, they're participating in cultural activities and those sorts of things, but they've still got this, you know, bracelet on their ankle that everyone can see. It's also an embarrassment, really, that we've got this situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's disproportionately prevalent in pockets of the community that I'm in regular contact with. I would say, you know, what does a community do? You really want to get people to accept their consequences for your actions, but come back into the world of light.
That's that agency discussion that we were having earlier, isn't it?
There's no way of getting away from that. And at the end of the day, it's not only by the sweat of thy brow, but it's free will as well. So, look, the party's had a hard line in that regard. Derek Ball, currently the manager of the leader's office, he was previously an MP. He drove that, rode that horse really hard. And in an earlier time, Winston and I came up with various policies to get these men, which they're coming out of prison, straight into work. And in the vast majority of the cases, it worked. But there's always going to be a small element that are backsliders, and we need to ensure that the consequences of those actions are visited upon them, which is not pleasant for their kids or wives, but it is very corrosive for the broader community unless we draw the line and say, sorry, bro, you go over that line, you're off to the hinaki. And hinaki, by the way, is the Maori word for jail, but it's also the word for the eel pot. The eel goes in, but the eel never gets out until the door is open.
Well, Shane Jones sure has a way with his catchphrases. Maybe we should make a medley of Shane's catchphrases one day. All right, I'll tell my team. Reminder that you can catch the full replay of Shane's interview with Cam on our replays page on the website and the app. Literally, you can go to the search bar and just type Shane, just Shane Jones, and it'll come up for you. Next up, I'm so thrilled to introduce my next host and show, fellow female host, Marie Buskey, from Counterculture, which airs Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Replay 7 p.m. Wednesdays and 10 a.m. Saturdays. If you haven't tuned in, be sure to tune in to Counterculture, which looks at critical social justice, known as woke ideology, and how it applies in an everyday context. This week on Counterculture, Marie chatted with Susan Barker from Women's Refuge to discuss the reality of the harms that women face today and the work that her organization does to help. Next up, it was Ramesh Thakur, Emeritus Professor, the author of the book, Our Enemy, the Government, How COVID Enabled the Expansion and Abuse of State Power. Wow, that sounds amazing. Ramesh joined Marie to discuss government overreach and the global political climate. And of course, Marty Gibson was also in the house along for Media Matters. And we were treated to another ever entertaining installment of Kiwi Farm, formerly known as Aotearoa Farm, where Marie gives her reflections in a very animated way. Right now, we're going to hear a short extract from Marty and Marie on Media Matters and a full episode of Kiwi Farm. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
One of the things he suggests here, and it's actually extending that, was at the end, the right person in the right place can make a lot of positive difference. And if we're prepared to empower them to do so, and this will take some time family by family, that suggests a family-centered social investment approach where we can stop worrying about what the program is called, stop declaring it must be run by a central government agency, and instead back the individuals and organizations who can prove they're getting results. And that's already happening in some community and marae areas. It's already happening in Pacifica areas. We know that there are people that are already doing this. They've done it off their own back to help their own people. And it's making sure that they are continued to be supported to do that in the first instance. But also, too, the fact that it just shows you that it's actually even just the basic life skills. Some of these people are just struggling with the challenge or challenges of those basic skills because they may have never, ever had them.
If you talk, I mean, I've remember one time talking with a now deceased mob leader. He was talking about going and seeing one of his kids in a home, you know, like a youth facility. He was saying he saw this roster on the wall with kids' names and jobs. And he said, "Yeah, what's that?" And they said, "Oh, well, you know, we give them jobs, and if they've done it, we tick them off." Oh, and I said, "Hey, Mum, we should get one of those. We just yell at them," you know. But he'd had a few realizations. One of which was, you know, when he found out that his mob brothers, who were coming to visit him, were molesting his kids, that had quite an impact on him. And he said, "You know, it's real aroha, not that bullshit aroha." And I think that's what Māori leaders have got to be brave enough to characterize the bonds that gangs have as bullshit aroha. Mm. And I've talked to another very ferocious, huge, tough, another mob leader. He was, you know, reflecting on when his house burned down. It was his family who he was sort of marginalized from who turned up and gave him a hand, and he never saw his fellow mobsters. That he realized, oh, bullshit aroha.
Yeah.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Welcome to Kiwi Farm, established 1840. Nigel, Kiwi Farm's wise old hackhorse and resident guidance counsellor, was busy. The change in management at the farmhouse and the ripples that resonated through all the styes and wallows were keeping a steady stream of business through his door. Currently,
He was working harder trying to stay focused at the beautiful Persian cat seated across from him. She was busy preening and immaculately groomed, but was in a power of trouble. Glory had experienced a huge fall from grace. Before the election, she had a seat at the farmhouse table and was a beloved member of the free-range pigs coven. But Glory had a dirty little secret. She was a cat burglar. Glory had been caught visiting a variety of sheds, stables, and silos and stealing feed and other trinkets, some at great expense. And even though she received more than her fair share for her work in the farmhouse, Glory had been caught not once, not twice, but now four times. Nigel's intervention had been called upon. As Glory finished licking between her perfectly manicured paw and claw, she sighed up at Nigel.
Am I done here?
You may go, Glory. I will see you again same time next week. And please remember not to touch anything that doesn't belong to you, Nigel said resigned, suspecting his words were falling on deaf ears.
Next through Nigel's door was Wee Jin, a whiny wee sow who did not take the election loss graciously and had become quite abusive to her colleagues around the farmhouse. What had led her to Nigel's office today was a conversation she'd had with one of the rams, loudly and forcefully spreading rumours and lies about her opposite in Oinky's team. This was not Wee Jin's first misdemeanour. She was prone to outbursts and had forged a well-worn path to Nigel's door. Nigel internally groaned. When he saw her arrive, he braced himself for an hour of righteous indignation, followed by advice he knew inevitably would not be followed. Nigel's final appointment was with Squealer. After losing the election, Squealer had decided not to keep Chippy company in the farmhouse crossbenches, and as he breezed into Nigel's office whistling,
good morning, Nigel. What a lovely morning it is.
Squealer had a smile as wide as his side, and he had a twinkle in his eye.
Well, what brings you to me in such an ebullient mood, Squealer? Asked Nigel.
Squealer eased back into his seat and started regaling Nigel with his news of a new job. He was heading back to his home paddock, a green lush meadow settled by those from the old McDonald's farm. Squealer was beaming at his own brilliance. He was going to be in charge of his old school, lending his fiscal expertise and knowledge of unicorns and rainbows, plus the illusion of bulls being cows, sows being boars, and rams being ewes. He was ecstatic.
Well, that's certainly very good news for you, Squealer,
responds Nigel sagely.
What are you looking forward to most?
Cheese rolls, Nigel! I get all the cheese rolls I can eat!
Well, on that bombshell, Nigel called it a day and decided to hunt out his old friend Winnie Ben for a scotch and a cigar and a spot of self-counselling at the back of the barn after a trying day with the animals on Kiwi Farm. Make sure you join me next week for Kiwi Farm, exclusively on Counterculture with Reality Check Radio.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that clip from Media Matters and the most recent installment of Kiwi Farm, formerly known as Aotearoa Farm. It's a modern-day online radio serial where Marie shares with listeners her weekly installments of the dramatic happenings on the farm. I highly recommend that you check out previous episodes. Next up, it's the Truth Speaker Show with live music, interviews, and speaking the truth from his mind to yours. The Truth Speaker Show with Tobias Tahi brings radio music back to the true essence of music. You can listen live to Tobias Mondays and Thursdays from 1 p.m. till 4 p.m. and catch the replays on air 10 p.m. Mondays, Thursdays, and 4 p.m. Saturdays and 10 p.m. Sundays. I highly recommend tuning in to one of these live streams. Since due to copyright restrictions, we are not able to have the full music show on our website replays. All right, let's get into it and wrapping it up with Tobias's Farewell News Hub by Tobias Tahi.
And to end today's show, I would just like to show zero condolences, zero sympathy, and zero respect to anyone in News Hub who lost their jobs yesterday because your entire propaganda brainwashing machine has been poisoning the minds of the nation for far too long, and you played a massive role in the coercion, the lies, the propaganda, and being a mouthpiece for the Pfizer-funded Labour Party. Therefore, you deserve no sympathy from me. And yeah, maybe I should rise above it and be the better person, but sometimes to see evil fall after everything we have stood for and fought for, it is worth celebrating the collapse of something that is zero use to humanity and has done more damage than good. They stood on the wrong side of history and now they pay the price. Now for the domino effect and the collapse of all of these puppet media outlets.
Well, that was classic Tobias sharing his thoughts. Now, I want to acknowledge, of course, that it is very sad when people lose their jobs, especially when it comes as a sudden shock. And it does affect many families. So I do send some wishes their way. And meanwhile, I also would love to acknowledge and send love and admiration, actually, to so many of our listeners who are very familiar with job loss due to standing their ground. Over the past few years with the whole VaxPass mandate situation. So sending love to any of those people. I know I've got some close friends who experienced that. So job loss is sad, but it is times of change for the media. So interesting times ahead. You can check out the Truth Speaker Show live to get the full experience. Like we mentioned, since we can't put the full tracks on the website or the replay page, be sure to tune in live stream. Now we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with highlights from Greenwashed.
Here at Reality Check Radio, we're on a mission to revive honest media. It's a good mission, and now you can be an integral part of it by joining the RCR Foundation Members Club. You'll receive exclusive benefits, including discounted merch, your backstage pass to join hosts for interactive behind-the-scenes discussions, and the popular daily curated news summary, RCR Bites, delivered to your email inbox every weekday morning, keeping you on the pulse of the news that matters in just a few minutes per day. To find out more, check www.realitycheck.radio/members. That's realitycheck.radio/members.
You're listening to the RCR Weekly Wrap-Up, where we showcase highlights from the week that was and keep you up to date with the important stuff. A mix of reminders, replays, and some reflections with your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh.
Next up on the weekly wrap-up, we're talking about Greenwashed. Greenwashed airs Mondays, 10 a.m., with a live stream replay, 7 p.m. Mondays, and 7 a.m. Saturdays. Greenwashed takes a deep dive into the green agendas and chews the fat with a range of guests on issues such as sustainability, climate, emissions, and more. Don Nicholson co-hosts with Jaspreet Boparai, and together they ask the hard questions like where are we heading and at what cost? Who controls the science and who are the experts? If you haven't heard this show, I definitely recommend that you tune in when you get a chance. This week on Greenwash, Don and Jaspreet spoke with Dr. Alana Johnson, prolific writer and author, who spoke with Jaspreet and Don about her formative years living within Romania's communist regime, escaping it, becoming a patriotic USA citizen, and discovering their public schools and universities produce woke communists. Interesting. I actually have four. I have nephews and nieces at American University, so it'll be interesting to see how they go. My sister is awake, which is great. Kate Mason was also on the show, Australian writer, blogger, and community advocate, who exposed what is behind a desire to transform current food systems to synthetic frankenfoods and why it's a threat. And don't miss the new segment debuting this week on Greenwashed, which was Climate Crazy News segment and the spotlight on NGOs. We're going to hear now from Kate Mason's interview.
But one thing I want to talk about here right now, because they are pushing this sort of stuff, Kate, for planetary health. But what does it mean for our health? And this paragraph from your Substack caught my attention. The big honking asterisk is that normal meat cells don't just keep dividing forever. To get cell cultures to grow at rates big enough to power a business, several companies are quietly using what is called immortalized cells, something most people have never eaten intentionally. Immortalized cells, you say, are a staple of medical research, but they are technically precancerous and in some cases, fully cancerous. Mm. Wow.
I know, it's extraordinary. So yes, so you get a cell and then you have to make that cell multiply itself using fetal bovine serum or other sort. This Vow Food says they don't use fetal bovine serum. They use some other medium to keep growing the cells. So our cells don't naturally just keep, like that is a cancerous cell where a cell just keeps developing. And doesn't stop. So I don't know how Vow Food are doing that because, as I said before, there's 30 documents that we're not allowed to see. So they're not going to tell you the process whereby they do that because that's their, that's confidential commercial information. So how do they do that? But it is a precancerous cell state. There's nothing that can be said about that. That is 100% what it is. And then if you've got cells dividing indefinitely, they can come up with different gene patterns. You're ending up with something, who knows what it is. Now, the big massive thing that we actually, because we put a submission in around this, is we want forensic audit. It's not okay that we can't see which company gives the cell, originally. The cell line and creates that cell line. It's not okay that we don't know any of the processes. It's not all right that we don't know who in FSANZ is saying yes to this being put into our food market. If people are going to, and there's no testing to this. So when they say, as I said before, when they actually go a literature search for safety, they're just comparing it to actual real quail. That is their literature search. So there's no actual studies done on what this does to the human body or what happens, what's the health implications of this. So they need to be 100% responsible and transparent for who is actually responsible and that people can be sued for this.
Well, so if they get it wrong, who is indemnified? If they got an indemnity, does it go back on the government the authority within government that is going to be liable if something is wrong? It sounds a little bit like the indemnity given by our governments on mRNA vaccines.
Safe and effective.
Yes, and this is slightly different, but similar. Going on to a slightly different topic. At the moment, CropLife, there's a bill going through in America to indemnify so that Bayer Monsanto, CropLife companies cannot be sued. So you've got CropLife partnering with the United Nations FAO, and then they're at the moment angling to get a bill through, an act through in America so they cannot be sued because Bayer Monsanto is being sued all over the world at the moment because of glyphosate and cancer risks and cancer. So, there's a bigger picture to this no transparency, no accountability picture that we're seeing forming around our food systems.
If you enjoyed that short clip from Greenwashed, a reminder that you can catch the full replay on our website or app, or the full replay live stream, which airs tomorrow, Saturday, at 7 a.m. So you can wake up early and have a listen to that. The next show I'd love to share with you is Real People in the Psychotherapist's Chair, which is one of our newest, but not our newest show. It airs Tuesdays from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. with replays live streamed at 10 p.m. that night, and also on Sundays at 4. Jerry invites New Zealanders from all walks of life into the psychotherapist's chair to talk about their lives, what it is that gets them out of bed in the morning, and who has influenced them the most. How they deal with the stressful and traumatic moments in their lives. I think it's always an interesting question to ask yourself what gets you out of bed and who's influenced you. Ponder that. This week, Jerry chatted with Kyra Xavier about power and wonder of the human spirit when we contemplate nature's glory. It was a great interview with Jerry, and I recommend that you check out the full interview this weekend. You can catch the full live stream replay, 4 p.m. this Sunday, so you get all the musical goodness as well. Here's the clip. Let's hear a little clip from his interview with Kyra.
I'm falling in love with sunlight. Like many things in today's society, things that are really wonderful for us, really good for us, have kind of been twisted and distorted and given a different story about how they might be harmful or detrimental to us and such. And yet those things are the very foundations for wellness on so many levels. And sunlight is one of them. And I've been really thrilled when I've been going on walks around Wanaka, seeing people enjoying the sun, you know, and tanned, enjoying it, you know, doing the exact opposite of what we've been indoctrinated to stay out of the sun and to cover up and to use lots of sunscreen and stuff. But I've seen enough people go, people are aware, you know, you feel wonderful when you have sun exposure, you feel something very special happens. And there's a reason for that. There's so many reasons for that. The evidence that's coming out now about vitamin D deficiency and its link, and I mean, gosh, it infiltrates everywhere. Even glasses and contact lenses have UV protection in them. So you are being deprived of an important part of the visual spectrum, the light spectrum, because we've been told that UV light is bad for us. No. Nature doesn't do bad. Everything nature does is there for a reason. And it's just we don't understand it. We don't have the understanding and the appreciation of the complexity of it and its different relationships and how it's interconnected with everything. It's way too complex for the human mind to even contemplate and understand and absorb. It's just too big. So what we've done is we tend to break things down and try and compartmentalize them. And then you've got a whole nother part of society which likes to patent it and manipulate and do what they want to make a profit from it. But underneath it all is this we have this beautiful relationship with daylight and darkness. And so the more disconnected we get from that, the more detrimental it is to our well-being. And so I can rave about the benefits of darkness, and we haven't even touched on its physical benefits, which is getting more attention now, which is a good thing, but we need so much more awareness about its role. The same thing can be said with how we are getting disconnected. Like I'm sitting inside at the moment, and I'm very aware that I have far less light exposure because I'm inside. And so many of us are inside for most of our day. And so those reduced light levels have an impact on every cellular process in the human body. And so we've got a lifestyle which is encouraging us to be disconnected. So the more that you can get outside and walk barefoot, and ground yourself, breathe fresh air, and not be scared of the sun. No, it's the human body has this beautiful ability. We can develop what's called a solar callus, which is we just gradually get sun exposure so that we get enough melanin in our skin so that we don't burn. You know, you don't need to burn. You can, and then you can enjoy sunlight without sunscreens. And so I would love to focus on the positive, which is that we have this beautiful resource there, like we do with darkness, that is healing and nourishing and important for us.
Such an interesting interview all about the sun. And something I've started doing is not wearing sunglasses so much, but I do wear my RCR hat, of course. Now, it also needs to be mentioned that we are not advocating for people to go ahead and get sunburned. So I want to make sure that that is clear. But I think it's interesting to think about things that we've always been told and maybe that we're not being told all of the things. Next up, we have our newest show. This is a summer series that we're doing called The Dialogue with Diwa De Boer. This is a mix of politics, power, and culture. And this week, it was, I think it was its third show? I can't keep track. And it airs at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Fridays, with a full replay 10 p.m. tonight, and again, 7 p.m. on Sundays. There were three interviews this morning. First up, we had Isaac Young, an independent author who is writing a number of sci-fi and fantasy books, who chatted with Diwa about his projects, inspirations, what he's doing to create positive and good culture, and the uncertain future of AI as a useful artistic tool. Following that, it was Joe Trinder, who is a Maori activist, joined Diwa to argue his case for co-governance and decolonization as a way to address the grievances of the past. Finally, 18-year-old Marcus joined the show to talk about his part in founding the Zealandia Heritage Foundation, to preserve New Zealand's culture by digging through old archives and sharing the history that isn't being taught in school. Bring it, bring it, bring it. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about true history. All right, we're going to do something a bit different today for the dialogue and do a flashback to last week's show, which caused a bit of a stir. We're going to hear from Martin Sellner, leader of the Identitarian movement in Austria, who joined Diwa last week to talk about patriotic movements in Europe, whether they are thriving and their impact on culture. And if we have time, we'll see how we go. We might hear a segment that Paul played this week on Breakfast when some of the mainstream media here in New Zealand took offense to Martin Sellner being interviewed on RCR and called on MPs to boycott our station. But otherwise, you can check out that segment on the Breakfast replays. Here's the interview with Martin now.
So first of all, what is an identitarian movement and why did you start one in Austria and encourage and help others around Europe to do the same?
The identitarian movement actually was founded in France, and I would say it was filling a gap of patriotic activist youth movement. So a lot of people call it the a patriotic Greenpeace, because we also tried to adapt this style of activism, banner drops, chartering ships, making symbolic actions, street theater, also actions that you were using humor in a way. And all of this did not really exist, I would say, in the right wing. And so GI really wanted to create a new style of activism. And also GI was the first, so GI is the short version and for
Generation Identity.
Generation Identity, exactly. It was the first new right activist group in Europe that was explicitly following this idea of new right identitarianism, which in short is basically the idea that every people has its culture and its identity. There are no superior cultures or bad cultures, but you should be able to love your own culture, preserve your own culture, but then respect all the others. So that's basically the grounding principle of the movement and of Generation Identity.
A few weeks ago, there was some controversy in the news that made international headlines as well about re-migration, which the AfD, Alternative for Deutschland, a German party, and also the National Rally in France that was led by Marianne Le Pen, they were supposed to have a meeting about this this concept, and it caused a lot of protests. And I believe you almost being banned from traveling to Germany as well. So tell us a little bit about what this is and why it's caused so much controversy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been banned from the UK, the United States and Canada withdrew my visa. And now even Germany doesn't want me to enter anymore because they're so reluctant to talk about these ideas. In fact, remigration is our answer to a failed migration policy of the past decades. It doesn't only mean to bring illegals home who have no right to stay in the country, but also to secure a border, to create projects in the countries, the origin countries of migration flows, to help those people to have a perspective there, but also to invert famous push and pull factors. So at the moment, you only have a lot of pull factors that draw people from all across the globe to Europe. And then you have a lot of push factors in their regions that drove them away from their homelands. And we want to invert those factors to create incentives for people to stay home, but also to shut down the incentives for illegals, for poor people to immigrate to Europe just to benefit from our social system. That's the main idea. And with a policy for remigration, It consists of many factors, for example, fighting political Islam here, stopping this kind of spending policy that you can easily exploit. We hope that we can change the tides and turn around the stream of migration so that over time, within the next 5, 15, 20 years, this Islamization of Europe and this loss of identity that you're experiencing can be turned around. That's the basic idea behind remigration. And it's debated more and more in European politics because more and more people see how the current migration policy has failed.
And is there a lot of interest in Austria itself? Are there political parties who are interested in this idea, or is it considered a forbidden subject?
It's a very good question because this really changed in the past years. And I think that's also the reason why we had this big upheaval. In the past years, the AfD, the Freedom Party in Austria, and in France, especially the party of Eric Zemmour, made remigration the main issue. It was debated 6 years ago only in our activist circles as an avant-garde idea and concept. And in the past years, we had campaigns of the Freedom Party youth with the term remigration. The AfD party is using the slogan all the time. And Eric Zemmour, the identitarian candidate in France, who was very popular for a while during the presidential elections, even demanded a ministry of remigration. So the idea and the term is very broadly discussed. Obviously, everybody has a different understanding, how much, how many, which time frame. So there's a big debate about it going on even in the right wing. But I would say it's a core concept of the European new right at the moment.
That's great news to hear from you. Is there a concern, people say, that remigration, are you going to be rounding people up and deporting them and sending them home and people don't want to go back? There's a lot of fear generated in the media about this idea. So could you explain in a little bit more detail as to what it might actually involve and what it wouldn't involve?
Yeah, there was a big media campaign. They created a straw man, and basically they want to compare remigration to a policy of chasing people away, violence, in fact, ethnic cleansing. That's the demon and the straw man that they're creating, but that's not at all the case. Everything in terms of remigration policy is obviously totally legal and has to be based on laws. So an actual repatriation for people is only possible if they're not no citizens and have no right to stay in the country. And for all other cases, what we are trying to do is to create a different environment, which doesn't make it likely and also doesn't make it sustainable. For example, parallel societies, but also criminal networks that are establishing themselves right now in Europe, or radical Muslims to stay here on the long term. An example for a policy that would fit into our concept of remigration was when in Austria the veil, the niqab, was banned. You know, this veil that only shows your eyes. And just after this ban was enacted by the Conservative Party, a lot of radical Muslims just left Austria because they said, okay, I cannot live my faith here, my fundamentalistic faith, as I want. And now in Germany, for example, they have been cutting cash money for asylum seekers. They only get a little card with which they can buy groceries. And this already led to many of those people voluntarily leaving the country. So we think if we put in place a completely different set of rules and systems, following the example of Denmark, who have their own ghetto laws, or the example of Sweden, that made a new law that for non-citizens, for foreigners who earn less than about 2,300 euros a month, that they eventually have to leave the country. So if you set up a set of rules like this, on the long term, you're going to experience that especially those immigrants who cannot assimilate, who are an economic burden to the state or even import criminality, will gradually leave the state. And that's exactly what we're proposing. Obviously, there are also migrants who are assimilating. Very often, they're even strong proponents of a policy of remigration themselves because they're also suffering from a population replacement. And everything else you hear about the term is obviously just fear-mongering of the migration lobby, because you have political parties that are importing votes. You have the asylum industry that is making millions just by getting state money to take care of those illegal people. And then you even have big corporations who are profiting from cheap labor being imported. And all those people, they don't want to have an open debate about migration policy. And that's why they're fear-mongering. And that's why you hear those straw men about remigration.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Weekly Wrap-Up with Natalie Cutler-Welsh from the Up Your Brave Show. Just a reminder, you can check out the replay from that previous interview where Christopher Luxon weighed in on Reality Check Radio in the wake of Diwa's interview with Martin Selner. All right, we're nearly there. We are coming up to our final show, which is my show. On the Up Your Brave show, we talk about all things community, connections, resilience, holistic health, parenting, and more. I love to interview a wide variety of guests from various areas across New Zealand and occasionally internationally as well. This week, if you haven't tuned in, it's on Wednesdays now. My show used to be on Fridays. We're all getting used to it. So now you can tune in Wednesdays from 1 to 4 p.m. and the live stream again replayed at 10 p.m. on Wednesdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. This week, I spoke with Sandy Leo, a Czech practitioner exercise coach who helps everyone from teens through to the elderly with health and wellness. She joined me to specifically talk about the elderly and the truth, about the sad truths, actually, about how some elderly are being treated in rest home care. Now, this got quite a few messages from the mailbag with a lot of people echoing some of Sandy's observations in the work she's done. So have a listen to that when you get a chance. Secondly, I spoke to Rebecca Davison, an intuitive guide and spiritual mentor. We talked about aligning with the divine to live as your soul desires. And you know me, I love to bring you some of the more woo or spiritual topics and people across New Zealand. Sometimes I bring on entrepreneurs or coaches, motivational speakers, but everything is designed to help, to inspire you, to motivate you, to empower you, to realize you are more powerful than you ever thought possible. And that is my true view. You can catch the replays from those and, of course, all of the interviews from the past on the replay page. Let's go now to a quick clip from my interview with Sandy Leo. It's not so much that the patients are like, no, no, don't give me, you know, don't move me, don't give me water. They're probably really keen to live a more healthy lifestyle as much as they can. How can we improve things?
Well, from my observation, and I've had confrontations with the doctors, and I've brought to their attention the interreactions of the drugs they're on, mm-hmm. and they don't want to know. And I go, what about the basics? Like, what about their gut health? So I actually taken my clients acidophilus, probiotic, prebiotic. Mm-hmm. I give it to them and keep their gut health, which is their mind health. Their food is not food. There's zero nutrition in it. So a typical meal is baked beans and hash browns or macaroni and cheese with a bit of mixed vegetables or some dried up pies, mince pies that you can buy in the cash or chips. And there's zero nutrition. So for me, it's like, why don't you have a veggie garden that you get your elderly to go and work in? Why don't we get them up and give them something to do? Like, because they virtually are told, don't move, go back to your room, sit down, you might fall. And they aren't encouraged to do activities in case they fall and the staff have to do too much work assisting them. So really I see them all too scared to do anything. Often I get, as I walk past other people, they're like, help, help. And they are asking for help. I've had one person, and I see a lot of them pass away, and I see them deteriorate, and it breaks my heart, because what I see is the more noise they make, the more medication they get given until they're just like a zombie. And my heart just breaks. I've also seen staff yanking them by one arm onto a wheelchair instead of two people kindly lifting them into a wheelchair. And I interfere. I go, hey, don't do it like that. And I see them being told off, sit down, don't move. And I'm like, no, why don't you assist them to stand up and move? And I often leave a rest time in tears, and because I am just mortified at the way they're treated. I take my clients outside. I teach them to breathe. I get them to move. I get them to drink water. I take in nuts, berries, seaweed, and teach them nutrition will keep your mind working. Now, all the medication, people don't understand, dementia comes from inflammation of the brain. All medications cause inflammation. You're on five medications, you've got an inflamed gut, you've got an inflamed brain. But then they're treated like idiots, and it is so unkind to treat them like that. They should be treated with love and affection, and not talked to like they're naughty children. And I just would love to see more rest times encouraging movement, water, breath, going outside and doing things to give them life, bringing in children for them to play with, playing board games together. I do a patient's crosswords Sudoku with my client. I make her do it. I go, keep your brain working, let's go. And I left yesterday playing patience, and she kept forgetting to go red, black, kept arguing with me, but that's medication making her angry. And I go, don't worry, you can have an argument with me. But, and I tell her, she says, what's the matter with my brain? I go, it's a medication. And so I up all the natural, like the omega-3s, the calcium, the vitamin D, the acidophilus, which they are not given. Their guts are destroyed by medication, and you see them going downhill, and they're not given anything, any nutrition or any natural supplementation to assist them with pain, joints, movement, brain. And I think that these are our parents. These are the people that brought us up, and they pay like $7,000 a month, which, by the way, you could go on 3 cruises in a month, and it would be cheaper to go on a cruise and get better food for your elderly. That's a fact. So I think for $7,000, do the arithmetic, they should be getting nutritious food, filtered water, and people like me paid to come in and go, what's the matter with this one? Let me do some opening up through the chest, back, wriggling your fingers, wriggling toes. None of that happens.
I hope you enjoyed that quick clip from my interview with Sandy Leo. I thought what I would do was share some of the mailbag that came in related to Sandy's interview. Here's one from Anton. Hi, Natalie. I can confirm the mistreatment in the rest homes. My partner's mother has worked in a few and kept getting in trouble for trying to do more to help. Calling an ambulance is an example when the older person is suffering. Management wants robots with no emotions over humans in rest homes. Thanks, Anton, for writing in. That does sound sad. Here's another one. Hi, RCR. What about the local church groups going in and giving care to these people, volunteering to support or actually to visit and make sure that they are getting water and the right care? Well, thank you so much. I think that is a brilliant suggestion. I'm not sure if that's been considered, but I think that is a great idea. Natalie, I totally agree with your guest in regards to rest homes. If we hadn't intervened, my mother would have died 2 years early because of medications that they put her on in the rest home. All I did was Google the medication and found that it was not recommended for dementia, but she had it. Once we demanded that they stopped the meds, she recovered quickly and was back to her normal self. The staff were great, but the problem is the system. Rest homes companies are some of the most profitable on the stock market, so it's all about profit. They don't have enough staff to walk them all or look after them properly. We used to take in water and supplements for her to help, but the system just medicates them all. Families need to be their advocates and not assume that all is okay. Thank you for your great radio station, Peter. Peter, thank you so much for writing in. I'm so happy that that was a positive story in terms of your proactive intervention. And I hope that some of our listeners take a note from that and maybe just find out what exactly they are putting your parents, your loved ones on. Thank you so much for listening to the weekly wrap-up this week. And what a week it's been, bringing you, as always, truth, insight, reflections. And you can catch the live stream replay throughout the weekend and go and find the full replays from the weekly wrap-up flashbacks that we shared today. It's all there for you on the RCR app or website, realitycheck.radio. And as I always love to express, I'm a huge fan of empowered action, meaning taking action because you feel called, not because you should, not because someone told you to. So it's great to listen, and I love that. And it's really great to listen to the replays, and we thank you for your support, but we would love it even more if you can just go ahead and share any of the replays, go to our social media, comment, please, but also go ahead and share a post or grab the link to a replay, send it to a friend. We don't want to underestimate the impact that you, the incredible listener, can have as well. Yes, the hosts, you know, we love to talk, we love to shine the light on people, problems, and possibilities that are going on in the world. But please don't estimate the power that you have as well. And some of you, if you're a foundation member, remember that on 8 p.m. this Sunday, you can come together with other RCR listeners, foundation members, connect with the hosts on the backstage pass. So what this is, it's a webinar. It's not, don't worry, we're not going to show your face on Zoom, but you will be able to see the hosts' faces and be part of the conversation. You can arrive ready with any questions that you have, and you can engage in the very busy and animated chat with the rest of the listeners as well. I will see some of you on Wednesday for the Up Your Brave show at 1 till 4, and I'll see you again next Friday for the weekly wrap-up. Until then, that's a wrap.
You've been listening to the RCR Weekly Wrap-Up with Natalie Cutler-Welsh. You can catch the live stream right here on Fridays at 1 p.m., and the replays also live streamed on Saturdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. Don't forget, you can check out all of our replays at www.realitycheck.radio/replays.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio.